Well, we're now looking forward to our two-hour Nigeria meeting, trusting that God will give us a great time. Still got a month or so before we go over, and there's some people that would like for us to come and minister. Brother, what's his name, Sister Betty out of Tennessee, Mississippi. Brother C.E. Vice is wanting us to come and minister there to church. And there's been some that's asked us in a number of places in Mississippi and in Tennessee and some other places. We've not decided to go as of yet, but they're asking us to come. Some places that would like for us to come and have a tent meeting. We've been invited to Virginia also, a number of places. Today we preached on Brother Gerald's radio program. We didn't go down in person today. They sent one of the Revelation of Jesus Christ tapes to Covington. I didn't get to hear it. I don't know whether anybody heard it or not. Reaches out quite a ways to quite a number of people, and Gerald insists that we minister for him, and so we did. He's wanting us to take the program, and I guess we will. He's wanting to give it up. And we've got quite a number of radio programs across the different parts of the country or nation. If you've got your Bibles, let's turn to the third chapter of the book of 2 Corinthians, and let's read together just a little bit. Do we begin again to commend ourselves, or need we, as some others, epistles of commendation to you, or letters of commendation from you? Ye are our epistle, written in our hearts, known and read of all men. Forasmuch as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistles of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshly tables of the heart. And such trust have we through Christ to Godward, not that we are sufficient ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God, who also hath made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit, for the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. But if the ministration of death, written and engraved in stones, was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses for the glory of his countenance, which glory was to be done away, how shall not the ministration of the Spirit be rather glorious? For if the ministration of condemnation be glory, much more doth the ministration of righteousness exceed in glory. For even that which was made glorious had no glory in this respect by reason of the glory that excelleth. And if that which is done away was glorious, much more that which remaineth is glorious. Seeing then that we have such hope, we use great plainness of speech. And not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished. But their minds were blinded, for until this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. But even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of God, of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Now, I'd like to comment just a little bit on this scripture. He says here, who also have made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. He said, now God has not called me to preach to you the old covenant of the Old Testament, of that of blood of bulls and goats that was back under the law, as to a letter of the law. He said, for the letter of the law killeth. It is the letter of condemnation. For he says, but if the ministration of death written and engraved in stones was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses for the glory of his countenance, which glory was to be done away, how shall not the ministration of the Spirit be rather glorious? That is, more glorious. For if the ministration of condemnation be glory, much more doth the ministration of righteousness excel in glory. Or he said, exceed in glory. So then when we think of the letter that killeth, we think of the law. I know that we've got some wild folks in this day, you know, and when you preach the word of God, I've heard them do this. They say, no, I'm in the spirit. You say, but look, you've got to follow the word of God. No, I'm in the spirit, they say. Say, the letter killeth, but I'm in the spirit. God wasn't speaking of the New Testament as being the letter that killeth. For the Bible says, my words, they are spirit and they are life. They're not killers. They are life. Jesus said, the words of the New Testament are my words. And this is the new covenant. And this is the word of spirit. And this is the word of life. So you don't say that the letter killeth, speaking of God's word. But he spoke of the Old Testament and the law of condemnation. Paul said, I was alive one time without the law. I was alive. He said, but the law came, and when the law came, sin revived, and I died, and that which I thought was to be unto life, I found to be unto death. For he said, it is the letter that killeth. But he said, there is a new word of life. There is a new testament. There is something that says unto me that I can live. For the law said, and the soul that sinneth shall surely die. And since we're all born into sin and all guilty of sin, all we could do is die. Knowing this, it is a letter of condemnation, or it is a commandment that we cannot keep. For Paul said concerning the Jews, you have the law and none of you keep it. So then the letter of condemnation is unto death. But then Jesus came with another word. There was the word from God of the Old Testament, the day that thou eatest thou off, thou shalt surely die. And then there came a new word from God, as to a new testament, saying, he that heareth my word, which is spirit and life, and believeth on me. Or Jesus said, him that sent me, that is on the spirit, he shall never come into condemnation. Or that is, he shall never be judged by the law, because the law is the letter of condemnation and death. And he said he shall never come into the judgment of the law to be condemned by the things that the law spoke of. For he shall never come into condemnation because he hath passed from death unto life, in that he has passed from the letter of condemnation and death unto the letter of, or the word of spirit and life. He shall never stand in the judgment to be judged by the law, because he is not a sinner. For the Bible said, that which is written in the law, it is written to those that transgress the law, and the transgression of the law is sin. But we, being dead to the law, could never transgress the law. Therefore, we could never sin. If we can never sin, then we can never die. Because, as I preach to you today, we are dead to sin by the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible said, reckon yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, and alive unto God by the words of righteousness. So then we can never come into condemnation, because condemnation, the way that you come into condemnation is by the law. And there is no law to us, because we are dead to the law. Therefore, there is no condemnation to them that are in Jesus.
Or that is to say, God does never condemn anyone that is passed from death of the law unto life by the Spirit of Christ. He never condemns anyone. There's never any condemnation from God. And if there's no condemnation from God, then there is no condemnation at all. Well, the Bible teaches that no one can lay anything to the charge of God's elect. If God doesn't condemn us, then no one can condemn us, because we are passed from death unto life. So then, he that is born of God cannot sin. He shall never come into condemnation. He is free from the law of condemnation. And this is why Paul magnified this wonderful revelation of God and preached so boldly this wonderful revelation of Christ, saying unto the Jews that if the ministration of condemnation and death as to the law, the letter that killeth, if that was so glorious that God actually stood upon the mountain and the fire from heaven came down, touched the mountain, and the mountain literally shook, and thousands of people saw the glory of God. He said, if this was such a glorious thing, how much more glorious, he said, is the word of life? How much more glorious is the word of life? If the letter of condemnation as to death was glorious, if the act of God was glorious, even to the extent that Moses had to put a veil over his face to hide the glory of it from the children of Israel, how much more glorious is this glory that excels so that by reason of such glory of this latter light, this great, wonderful light of the world, so much more glorious, he said, if it has such great glory that by this glory there is no glory at all to that which is past, how much more glorious is this light? That is the light of understanding. If that was an understanding from God, if that was the word from God, if that was a commandment from God, the Bible said this glory that has come in the word of truth and life is so greatly surpassing. He said that glory as to the law had no glory at all. He said this light is so great that that is to a candlelight has no glory because of the greatness of this glory. How much more should we rejoice in God, be thankful in God, and let the world know what we've got? How much more should we rejoice in God? The children of Israel rejoiced in such a way they literally shook when they saw the blaze of fire upon the mountain. And when they saw God there, that is to say, as to this act of God, when they saw God there upon the mountain in his greatness, they literally shook. Moses said the sight was so exceedingly great, I trembled. I trembled. And here we are in a light that's so far greater than that light, even the revelation of the Son of God. Here we are in the day of the revelation of Jesus Christ, or the revealing of the mighty light of the Son of God. That is, here we are in the knowledge of Almighty God. The Bible said, to whom shall I look? He that trembleth at my word. When you get to the place to where you literally shake on the inside and tremble at the word of God, knowing that this is the word of life, and that if we fail to come to this word of life, or we fail to listen to this word of life, that we're cut off from among the people. Moses made it very clear, and God shall raise up a prophet like unto myself. It will come to pass that whosoever faileth to hear that prophet shall be cut off from among the people. So then today we're speaking of Jesus. There is a prophet. There is a great and mighty prophet. His name is Jesus. And he's the prophet like unto Moses. And it has come to pass in our day that the ones that fail to hear this prophet shall be cut off from among the people. Somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, if I could hear that prophet, then I would accept that prophet. Well, you're listening to him tonight. The Bible said it shall not be you that speak, but the Heavenly Father that speaketh from within you. And that voice that cometh from within the minister, that is the voice of God, of that prophet. And the Bible said they shall all be taught of God. So then tonight, we know that if we fail to hear this word of prophecy, then we will lose that eternal life that he's promised to us. The Bible said that we should fear coming into the presence of Almighty God, because it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. And when you come into this voice, coming unto the mount of God that more than that that burns with fire. For Paul said, we've not come unto that that burned with fire, but we've come unto the great assembly of the firstborn. We've come unto the very church of the very firstborn itself, and to the great, wonderful church of God that's in heaven. So then coming into these things and listening to the voice of God as it speaks through the membership of his body, in that we're born of his bone and flesh of his flesh. And then it's not us living, but Christ that liveth within us. And seeing that we are taught of God, then we know that if we fail to hear this word of prophecy, then we're cut off from among the people. For the Bible said they were cut off. Those that did not hear the voice of Moses, they were cut off. That we should take, that we should beware and be careful as we approach unto this, knowing that it is the voice of Almighty God, and that if we fail to hear this voice, then we don't have any hope anymore. So you can see where the world's at tonight. You can see the great danger of them that are without, because the voice of God is going out, and they do not recognize God, and they do not see God, and they do not know God. It was said in the days of Solomon that if anybody looks to this temple and prays, I will hear from heaven and I will heal them. And today, here we are, the tabernacle of God in earth. The Bible said your bodies are the temples of the living God. And here it is that the temple of the living God is in the earth. The tabernacle of God is among men. And God is speaking from within his tabernacle. For the Bible said God is within his temple and all the world keeps silent. And the Bible said that God will make all of the world come and kneel before you and know that he hath loved you. For the Bible said he shall suddenly appear within his temple. Whose temple ye are? He hath appeared within his temple. Somebody would say, someday, Brother Pike, God's going to appear within his temple. God's already appeared in his temple. The Bible says in Malachi that he will come and he will purge the sons of Levi, and that one that you look for shall suddenly come into his temple. At Calvary, he suddenly came into his temple, and we're his temple, and he's in the temple tonight. The Bible said, and these signs shall follow them that believe. If they look, the people look toward this temple, these signs shall follow us. We'll lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. If they look toward this temple in faith, virtue goes out of this temple and heals the people. So then we're the body of Christ in the earth today. We're the great temple of God in the earth today. And Lucifer is blaspheming the name of that tabernacle, which is the lovely name of Jesus. But we go on day by day preaching the gospel, worshiping God, or as saints of God, doing what we know to do in sending the gospel around the world and trying to help people. Because God is in his temple tonight and God is speaking to the world tonight. Let all of the world be silent and listen to God as God speaks from within his temple. Let all of the world be a lie, every man be a lie, and the word of God be the truth. So then we see this wonderful word of life, not that of the letter that killeth, not of that of condemnation. I'm not under the law. Paul said, we therefore conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. So without the deeds of the law, I'm justified in Christ. I don't have to have the law to justify me. Christ in my heart is the fulfillment of the law. For the Bible said in Jesus Christ is the end of the law. For all of them, or to all of them, that can believe. If you can believe, that's the end of the law. If you cannot believe, then you're still under the law. For the Bible says, they that are fallen from grace are under the law. And you'll be judged by the law. And no flesh can keep the law. So then you're guilty of transgression, because transgression of the law is sin. Then you're guilty of sin. And if you're guilty of sin, because of sin, there's death. For the Bible said that the sting of death is sin. And the soul that sinneth shall surely die. So then we know that we die if we sin. We're speaking today, how can a man say that I sin and still have Christ? How can a man say that I sin every day? Someone was preaching over the radio a few days ago, so I was told, that we all sin. Every day we sin. Folks, if I sin every day, then I am not a Christian, I am a sinner. How do you understand that you are a sinner if you sin? You know, if you go out with a hammer and a saw every day and you work, you are a carpenter. Because you're carpeting every day. Isn't that right? If you take a brush and you go out and you paint, you are a painter. Because you're painting every day. If you just sit around and don't do nothing, then you are a man that does nothing, because you don't do nothing every day. Isn't that right? So then it's the same way with a man that lives righteous. The Bible said, you that follow after righteousness, cry unto the rock from which ye are hewn. So then we are followers of righteousness. We are sanctified by the faith which is in Christ Jesus. Our sins are gone. They're underneath the blood on the cross of Calvary. As far removed as darkness is from dawn, the songwriter said. They're in the sea of God's forgetfulness. That's good enough for me. Praise God, my sins are gone. And I remind you again, Messiah shall come and make an end of sin. He made an end of sin in my life because I am not a transgressor of the law. The transgression of the law is sin. That word of death. If I transgress the law, then it's death to me because I sin. See, I cannot sin because I'm born of God. Being born of God means that I am away from the law. I am free from the law. I am in the perfect laws of liberty. I am not under the law. I am not subject to the law. I am free from the law. I'm in God's liberty. So then I am not a transgressor of the law. I don't go day by day trying to keep the law. Christ is the end of the law to me. Christ in this wonderful word of liberty dwells on the inside of me, and I'm living for God every day. I'm living an overcoming life. Every day I live an overcoming life because of Christ. So then Paul said, my sufficiency is not of me. I don't boast of my sufficiency as being of me, but my sufficiency is of God. For in Christ I am complete. Well, the Bible said you're complete in Him, and we're sanctified by the faith which is in Christ Jesus, which means my sins are gone. I have been made perfect forever. I am perfect in Him forever. He hath made me perfect forever. You know what perfect forever is? That you don't sin. You don't sin in the sight of God because you are perfect. How could you sin and then be perfect? How can one sin every day and be perfect? That's not possible. You can't sin every day and be perfect. You can't sin at all and be perfect. If you sin one time, you would not be perfect. So then God has perfected forever them that are sanctified, having sanctified them once and for all, by the faith of God which is in Christ Jesus. So then I'm sanctified once and for all by the offering of the body of Jesus Christ. I am perfected forever by the finished works of our heavenly Savior. So then I am perfect before God. That's why that the Bible says if the ministration of that which is passed is to the law and condemnation of bringing death is such a great mighty act of God made known to man, how much more glorious is this great mighty act of God that saves lives rather than destroy lives? How much more glorious is this, Paul said, that we now have a covenant with God that saves lives. It doesn't kill, it doesn't destroy, but it saves lives. How much more glorious is the act of God in earth, and that He is saving souls and saving men from death in this latter day. How much more glorious is this word from God that tells me I'm alive forevermore. This is what I'm looking for. This is what I rejoice in. This is what makes me happy. That's why I get beside myself, and that's why I feel real good as I talk about this wonderful covenant of the Lord Jesus Christ. So then I see that the ministration of this is so wonderful and so glorious. Not a letter of death, but a letter of life. So then the letter killeth, but I am not under the letter of the law. Therefore, I am alive. It is true that I was alive, and the law came, and sin revived, and death came, and condemnation caused me to die. When somebody came preaching the word of life, I saw condemnation. I saw the law of the letter. I saw death, and that which I thought was life, I found to be death. And so then I died, because when I heard about my sins, I fell under condemnation, and I thought, oh my God, I'm crushed. Lord, that preacher's preaching, I'm on my way to hell. So I died. I was killed and crushed by the letter as I learned that I'd sinned against God. But as I repented, and then I heard the other side of Calvary, and I heard the words of life saying, he that believeth on me is passed from death unto life, and the letter of condemnation is lifted, and now there is life, and he's beyond death. And he can never die anymore. Than I accepted that side of it by faith, and tonight I'm alive forevermore. Jesus said, I once was dead, but now I'm alive forevermore. So then I pass from the letter of condemnation and judgment, and now I'm to be judged by mercy, and I'm living in a world. I'm in a new world, as someone said, since the Lord saved me. I pass from the old world of condemnation and death. And now I'm on this side of Calvary, and I'm in the world of life, the words of light and life. I'm in the world of health. I'm in the world of blessing and prosperity. I'm in the world where God loves me and watches after me every day to see that I'm healthy and well, and to see that my enemies are at peace with me. I'm in the world where God gives his angels charge concerning me every day, that they bear me up in all of my ways to keep me from dashing my foot against a stone. I'm in the world of glory, the world of his glory, where it said, Father, give the glory unto them that you gave unto me from the foundation of the world. Glorify them with the same glory. I'm in that world of the glory that's so much more glorious than the glory that was in the days of Moses. It so excels that there's no memory of that as to glory. For Paul said, in that that is past and gone, folded up and laid away, hath no glory by reason of this that so excels the glory that had in the days of Moses. So then we're living in the great, wonderful, enlightening time of Jesus. We're living in the day when men are learning about this great glory. Someone would say, what do you mean by that? That this wonderful enlightenment tells men that they cannot sin. This wonderful glory tells men that they cannot die. This excelling glory tells men that they have the favor of God eternally and forevermore. That they don't have to worry anymore. They don't have to fear anymore. The Bible said, let not your heart be afraid. Don't let it be afraid. We're not to let it be afraid because we don't have any reason to be afraid. I'm not afraid of death. The Bible said all of our lives we're under bondage as to fear of death. All of our lives until we come to Christ. But I'm not afraid of death. You say, Brother Pike, why aren't you afraid of death? Because I'm not going to die. If I'm not going to die, I would be foolish to be afraid of death. Someone would say, well, I just can't believe that. Well, I say this again. If I knew that Brother Taylor was a man of integrity and I asked him to do a certain thing for me, and Frank returned and said, it's done. If I sat and I looked at Frank and I said, well, I don't know. Maybe you did, maybe you didn't. I don't know. I don't know whether you're lying or not. I don't know whether you went or not. I'm not sure about it. I'd be a foolish man. So then when God tells me something, and I look at God and I say, well, I don't know whether it's right or not. I don't know where I can trust that or not. I don't know where to work or not. I don't know where I can get that or not. I'm even more foolish. Because if I would trust in the word of Brother Taylor and not question the word of Brother Taylor, why would I question the word of Almighty God? The God that made heaven and earth, the God that made me, the God that cannot lie. The Bible said his word is settled in heaven, that it can't be altered, it can't be changed, and that it's the same to 1,000 generations. How then can I sit and doubt the word of God or wonder about the word of God? What kind of fool would I be? So I'm not going to do that. I believe God's word. God said it, I believe it, that's settled. It's yea and amen. The Bible said all of the words of God is yea and amen. All of the promises of God are yea and amen. God said it, I believe it, amen. That settles it. No question about it. No wondering about it. Because if I wouldn't question Brother Taylor's word, I certainly wouldn't question God's word. So then, by his stripes I'm healed. He hath given me all things that pertain unto life. He'll make all of my beds in the time of my sickness. He'll make me to ride upon the high places of the earth. He'll feed me with the heritage of Jacob. His blessing will make me rich and add no sorrow. He will give me the desires of my heart because I've delighted myself in him. Why should I then doubt? Why should I doubt that? I shall be like a tree planted by the water. I'll bring forth my fruit in my season. My leaves shall not wither. Whatever I do shall prosper. Somebody said, well, is that really working in your life? Why don't you look and see? Let's give the Lord a hand. Why don't you look and see? All right. So then God takes care of us. God keeps his word. You say, but Brother Pike, how does he do all of that? Simply by what he said. Someone said, they would say, but you got to try to believe that, Brother Pike. I don't try to believe nothing. Do you know what faith is? Is accepting what he said. That's what faith is. When he said it, you just accept it. That proves you believe it. I'm not going to struggle around and say, well, he said it, and I got to try to believe it. I got to try to believe it. If I can just believe it, it'll work for me. That's foolishness. God said it, I believe it. That's the end of it. God said it, I don't try to believe it. God said it, that's the way it is. I just accept it. It's just that simple. The devil will make a complicated situation out of nothing. So then you're God's children. He said this to you because it belongs to you. It's the promises of life. I have given you all things that pertain unto life. Why do we want to struggle around and try to believe that? Why do we want to struggle at that and stumble at that and try to believe that God said, I give you all things that pertain unto life? Why not say, well, glory, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God, hallelujah. Isn't that the way to do it? I say, Brother Taylor, here's your $5,000. He says, glory, hallelujah, thank you. Like the little boy that Larry gave the $10. He didn't try to believe it or nothing about it. He grabbed it and took off in a run. See, that's the way it is. Grab it and take off in a run. Thank God for it. See, he said it, I believe it, I thank God for it. It's for you. That's all faith is just accepting what he said about it. So that's why that we say that this is such a glorious thing. God has done such an exceedingly glorious thing for us. Let's stand together. I want you to think on that. I go back from time to time and I bring something up concerning faith. Or I go back and I bring something up concerning how that you have escaped death. How that you escaped death. So in our minds we say, how have I escaped death? Because we have escaped the letter that killeth, even the law of condemnation. There is now therefore no law to them that are in the Spirit. Or there is now no condemnation of law as to the letter of death to them that are in the Spirit. For you walk after the Spirit and the things of the Spirit, not as to the things of the flesh. Someone would say, well, Brother Pike, I do a lot of things concerning the flesh. Well, you need to be born again so that you won't be under the letter that killeth. If you walk after the flesh and you desire the things of the flesh and you enjoy the things of the flesh, it's positive that you are a bonds child and you are in bondage in your mind to the beggarly elements of the flesh, the things of the world. But I'm not interested in the flesh, as my wife said this morning. I'm not walking after the flesh. I'm not looking for the things of the flesh. I am interested in the things of the Spirit. I'm interested in the things of God. I pass from death unto life because I'm not in the flesh. I'm in the Spirit. I'm looking for the Spirit. Someone would say, how are you then in the Spirit? The mind of Christ is the Spirit. The mind of Lucifer is the world. The mind of Lucifer is that of a world of vanity that will pass away even as he'll pass away. But the mind of Christ is that of reality which will never pass away. An inheritance that fadeth not. So then, we're not under condemnation because we have passed from death unto life. We cannot sin. We cannot sin. You are not a sinner. Beloved friend, you're not a sinner. You are not a sinner. You are a Christian. If you sinned, you would be a sinner. But if you're Christ-like, then you are a Christian. We are Christians because we are Christ-like. What does it mean to be Christ-like? It means you don't sin. Oh, someone would say, well, can you prove that? Well, let me ask you a question. How many times did Christ sin? The Bible said, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. It said, we find no fault in this just man. So then to be Christ-like means what? It means you don't sin. If you're sinning, then you're not Christ-like. All right, let's sing a little chorus together, Brother Taylor. Sweep over my soul. Sweep over
Spirit sweep over my soul. For my rest, it is complete while I sit at your feet. Oh, sweet Savior, sweep over. Can you sing that with me? For I've anchored my soul in God's haven. I'll rest and I'll sail the wild seas no more. And though the tempest that may sweep out over the wild storm indeed, but in Jesus I am safe. Don't you like that? Safe evermore. Sing it again. For we've anchored our soul in God's haven. I'll rest and I'll sail the wild seas no more. For though the tempest it may sweep out over the wild storming deep, but in Jesus I am safe evermore. Come into my heart. Can you sing with me? Come into my heart. Oh, come in to my heart, Lord Jesus. Just come in today and come in to stay. Come in to my heart, Lord Jesus. While we're singing, come in to my heart. The altars are open. Come in to my heart. Oh, come in to my heart. Just come in today and come in to stay. Come in to my heart, Lord Jesus. Ain't you glad you can't sin? Ain't you glad you can't sin? I'm glad, folks, that in Him I cannot sin. How wonderful to know that we cannot sin, that we pass from death unto life. God has given us all things that pertain unto life. And we cannot sin because we are born of God. Born to the incorruptible seed of Almighty God. Never to sin no more, having passed from death unto life. The letter of condemnation can never judge us, for we're judged as children of liberty. What a wonderful thought. Let's sing this little chorus. They'll come from the east and the west. They'll come from the land that's afar to feast with the King, to dine as His guest. And how blessed these pilgrims are, there beholding His hallowed face, and the glow of His light divine. They're blessed partakers of God's grace. has gems in his crown to shine. For they'll come from the east and the west, land that's above, to feast with the king, to dine as his guest. And how blessed these pilgrims are, they're beholding his household and aglow with his light divine. We're blessed partakers of God's grace as gems in his crown. Can you sing it with me again? For they'll come from the east and the west. They'll come from the lands that's afar to feast with the king, to dine as his guest. And how blessed these pilgrims are, beholding his hallowed face, and aglow with his light divine. We're blessed partakers of God's grace as gems in his crown. Can we sing this little chorus together? I'll go with him through the garden. I'll go with him through the garden. I'll go with him through the garden. I'll go with him all the way. For where he leads me, I will follow. Where he leads me, I will follow. Will follow, and I'll go with him, with him all. You know, Brother Taylor was singing this little chorus the other day when I come in. Jesus, use me. Oh, Lord, don't refuse me. Surely there's a work that I can do. And even though it's humble, Lord, help my will to crumble. For though the cross be great, I'll work for you. Jesus, use me. And, oh, Lord, don't refuse me, for surely there's a work that I can do. And even though it's humble, Lord, help my will to crumble. For though the cross be great, I'll singing again. Jesus, use me. Oh Lord, don't refuse me. For surely there's a work that I can do. And even though it's Lord, help my will to crumble. For
be great I'll work. Sing it one more time. Jesus, won't you use me? Oh Lord, don't refuse me. For surely there is a work that I can do. And even though it's humble, Lord help, I will crumble. For though the cross be great, I'll work for you. Do you really want the Lord to use you? Let's sing another chorus or two before we go tonight, can we? Let's sing the old time religion, can you? Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. Cause it's good enough for me. I want that old time religion. I want that old time religion. I want that old time religion. For me, it makes me sing when I get happy. It makes me sing when I get happy. It makes me sing when I get happy. And so give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. Cause it's good enough for me. It makes me love everybody, makes me love everybody, makes me love everybody. Enough for me, give me that old time religion, give me that old time religion, give me that old time religion. It was good for my father and my mother. It was good for my sister and my brother. It was good for my father and my mother. And it's good enough for me. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. Cause it's good enough for me. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. Cause it's good enough for me. Well, give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. Cause it's good enough for me. I want that old time. Old time religion, I want that old time religion. It's good enough for me, so give me that old time religion. Old time religion, give me that old time religion. Oh, I don't want your gold and silver. I don't want no diamond. For to me, he's everything. So I don't want no gold. I don't want no diamond ring. All I want is the love of Jesus. Oh, to me, he's everything. So I don't want your gold or silver. And I don't want
want your diamond ring. All I want is the love of Jesus for to me. God's everything.
Can you sing one more chorus with me before we close?
And time shall be no more, no more. And time shall be no more. Shall stand on the sea and the land and
God. Can you sing that with me?
And time shall be no more, no more, and time shall be. For the angels shall stand on the sea and the land and time.
Sing it again.
For time shall be no more, no more, and time shall be. For the angels shall stand on the sea and the land and time shall be.
Sing it with me now. Let's raise our hands together.
For time shall be no more, no more, and time shall be. No more, for the angels shall stand on the sea and the land, and time shall be.
Just one more time.
For time shall be no more. Shall be no more. For the angels shall stand on the sea and the land, and time shall.
Can you sing it just one more time with me? You really believe that? Sing it with me.
For time, my friend, is no more, no more, and time for me is no more. For the angel did stand on the sea and the land, and time,
there's a time to die, but not for you and I.
For time for you, it's no more, no more, and time for you is no more. For the angel did stand on the sea and the land, and time for you, it's no more.
Sing it again.
And time shall be no more, more, and time be no more. For the angels shall stand on the sea and the land and time shall be no more.
Can you bow your heads with me and lift your hands up? Close your eyes. Time shall be no more. You pass from time unto eternity. Because you pass from death unto life, time is a killer. But in that you pass from death unto life, you can never die. You pass from time unto eternity. By faith, you're transformated into another world. And the Bible says that you're not of this world. For I've chosen you out of the world, and time is in the world. When you left the world, you left time and you become eternal. And you left time behind. For in the world there's a time to be born, there's a time to die. And when you left the world, you left time. Therefore is not a time appointed unto you to die. The Bible said it's appointed unto man once to die, and after that the judgment. But you're not a man, you're a God. And gods don't die. They pass from death unto life. The Bible said God looked down from heaven. He heard the groaning of the prisoners. And he loosed them that was appointed unto death. My appointment was as a time unto death. For I was appointed as unto a time to die. So when Jesus came, by his body of sacrifice I died. The Bible said I'm to reckon myself to be dead indeed unto sin and alive unto God forevermore. I pass from death unto life, and the Bible teaches he that is born of God cannot sin, and because he cannot sin, then he cannot die, because the sting of death has been taken away. And it's up to me to preach this to you, or to those that God calls, to whom it is revealed, to tell the saints that it's all over. Their warfare is accomplished. They don't have to die. It's not appointed unto them to die. They've already passed from death unto life. They died at Calvary when you heard the appointment or heard the groaning of the prisoners and broke the appointment. So then you pass from death unto life, and you're not of this world, for he's chosen you out of this world and hid you with Christ in God, whom the heavens have received until the time of restitution of all things. To bypass death. You bypass death. You're just waiting for the restitution as to the chains. So then, it was said of Lazarus, he sleepeth. I go to awake him. So, we have the opportunity to believe God. For God is waiting. There's no time, there's no days, there's no certain time of his coming. For he is coming to them that look for him. And God is not a God of time, not of yesterday, today, or tomorrow. He is the God of eternity. He was, he is, and forever shall be. Even from everlasting to everlasting, he is. So then you pass from death unto life, and you're one with God. So you don't have to look for an appointment unto death. But you do look for that wonderful coming of the salvation of your soul as to the change of your body. And the Bible said, behold, I show you a mystery. When the mysteries are all finished, Paul said, or John said, as to the sounding of the last trumpet, then you won't sleep anymore. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but be changed. So then tonight you pass from death unto life. We're here to tell you that you can believe that this faith. Paul said, we're here for the perfecting of your faith. So that the perfecting of your faith can change you or bring back the Lord Jesus Christ or translate you as it did Enoch into the wonderful glories of God. By faith, you've already been changed. You've already been translated into the marvelous kingdom of God. You've already been translated into the marvelous kingdom of God by faith. While the law and the prophets were until John, since that time the kingdom of God has been preached. And many pressed their way into the kingdom of God. For the Bible says, the law and the prophets until John, then the kingdom of God came. And the Bible said, Thy kingdom come, Heavenly Father, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Or that is, a new earth shall come in, and the curse shall be taken away. Cursed is everyone that hangeth upon a tree. And though we were under the curse, because of the sins of Adam, we're no longer under the curse. For Jesus hung upon the cross as to the tree and took away the curse. So we're no longer under the curse of death. And the day thou eatest doubt, thou shalt surely die. But John cut down the old tree of knowledge, doing away with the curse. And Jesus was made like unto the serpent that caused the trouble in the garden. And God cut down the tree and he put him in the fire. And we don't have to worry about him anymore. For the accuser of the brethren is cast out of your heart and out of my heart. And he's gone. And he hath translated us into the marvelous kingdom of our God. So the inner man has been translated into the marvelous kingdom of God, and the flesh profiteth nothing. So we don't worry about the flesh. We're not concerned about the flesh. The flesh has nothing to do with it at all. When the inner man, the spiritual man, is translated into the seal of the great eternal Spirit of God, that automatically stops the problem. That's the end of it. You're sealed in, and the Bible tells us that you keep yourself, and the evil one touches you not. Never at any time does he ever touch you. You are a saint of God without spot, without wrinkle, and without blemish. So while we're standing here tonight with our hands lifted up, we want to give ourselves wholly to these things, to meditate in these things day and night, that our profiting in God may appear to all, that we may by this great, wonderful confidence, faith, and perseverance go into all the world and tell people the great tidings of great joy. This glad tidings of great joy should be spread around the world by you and I. So let's not spend our time wondering about the letter of condemnation that killeth, knowing that we shall never come into condemnation, that there is now therefore no condemnation to them that have been born again. All that is to say, them that are in Christ Jesus. For they walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. If the Spirit of God is in you, then you walk after the Spirit. If you have not the Spirit, you've never been born again. You're not his. So tonight, knowing that we've been born again, we have of his Spirit. His Spirit beareth witness with our spirit that we are the sons of God. So while we're standing here tonight, let's give ourselves wholly unto these things that we might profit in the days to come in winning souls, strengthening others, and letting these signs follow us. God believe. I want Brother James Doakes to come up, if he will. I want him to close the prayer, close out with prayer tonight. Let's just lift our hands, worship God tonight. Always remember, the Bible said, examine yourselves. Faith by the hearing of the word. See if you're in the faith. See if your conviction is in ideas, ideology. See if you're founded upon the word of God. See, if you really, truly believe God, if you're really anchored in the Word of God, if you're believing in the Word of God, not just what somebody told you or what you feel about it, what you've thought about it, what you've dreamed about it, what you've heard about it, but that you are really anchored in the Word of God, that you believe the Word of God, you've heard the Word of God, that you believe the Word of God. While you're standing here tonight and Brother James prays with you, think on these things.